Mother's Day is around the corner. Find the perfect gift for the mom in your life with a stunning piece of jewelry from Blue Nile. From timeless pearls to dazzling gemstones, Blue Nile has something she'll adore. Need it fast? Most items can ship overnight. Plus, enjoy guaranteed free shipping and returns. Don't miss our special Mother's Day deals. Save big on the season's most beautiful trends. For a limited time, get up to 50% off by going to BlueNile.com. That's BlueNile.com.
Welcome to the Andy Staples Show. It's a pro day edition. I just got back from Anthony Richardson's pro day, like a few minutes ago. And Ari Wasserman is joining me. He was texting me saying, what did it look like when you saw that deep go ball and it just soared through the heavens?
I mean, I saw that was the last throw of his workout. Shouldn't it just been the first and only throw?
There was one he did warming up where he was on his knees. I can't remember what yard line he was on, but he threw a ball into the corner of the end zone and it just dropped in there perfectly. And yeah, that if you want to do trick shots with a QB, Anthony Richardson is your man. And it's funny because I was talking to one of the people who has been training him for the draft, and they said, you know, they talked to an NFL head coach about, do we do these trick shotty type throws? Because everybody makes fun of the Zach Wilson throw now. Is that something we should do? And the head coach is like, yeah, go ahead. Just have fun with it. Because you're still going to get the oohs and the ahs.
Yeah. My favorite thing is that whenever anybody from the pro day tweets out that he had a really nice throw, they always say for a touchdown. And I laugh at that because it's like, as opposed to what?
Right. I mean, they're all touchdowns. There's no defense. You can run all day if you want to.
But I mean, you've seen his arm in person many times, so it must not have been something to you because we're all familiar with it. But like, if you're a NFL scout and you're seeing it in person like that for the first time, like, yeah. Are you just walking away?
It's why he's going to go in the top 10. Yeah, it's why he's going to go in the top 10 because those guys have seen the film. They've watched every game he's played on tape. Now, a lot of those guys have seen him in person too, but for the coaches and the GMs that are coming in and seeing it in person for the first time, they cannot help themselves. They're human beings. They're like, whoa. And Vaughn in the chat asked, didn't Jamarcus Russell do something similar, throwing it like 60 yards from his knees? Yes, he did.
And that was the first thing I thought.
Didn't work
like
out
when
very
you said
well.
When you said threw from his knees, the only thing that I thought of was Jamarcus Russell.
Yeah.
And it just kind of brings you full circle on nobody questions whether or not he has a strong arm or can have right. A beautiful ball. So it's like when everybody drools over the arm strength and the trick shots and from the knees throws, that's not what's in question here. And right. Like, I don't really know how you can simulate or find out whether or not he can grow from what we saw on tape mm-hmm. in a gym or at the combine. So like that is the disconnect with the combine process that I've always had of just like, there's a lot of people who have really strong arms and throw a really beautiful pass and
yep.
can do trick shots the way that he can. Can he play quarterback? And is there anything that you can do in a pro day to prove that you can play quarterback?
Not a damn thing, especially since the pro day is even more controlled than the combine. You know, when he was throwing at the combine, he's throwing to receivers he didn't know. He's having to throw right after CJ Stroud throws, so he's dealing with a constant head-to-head comparison. Here, he's throwing to receivers he knows. The it is completely scripted for it to be his best throws. If there was a throw that he was weak on, which in this case, Richardson is pretty, you know, his arm is good for pretty much all the throws. But if there's one he was weak on, they just skip it. Turns out the only one they skipped in today's pro day was normally they would have him kind of stand on the goal line and just throw it as far as he can to see what happens. But since he'd already hit the ceiling with a go route.
Did he do that on purpose?
So I saw some people saying, oh, you know, based on the interview, he did it on purpose. No, he didn't do it on purpose. So he was laughing. He thought it was hilarious that it happened. And it almost happened a couple throws before that one. But he joked that he wanted to show up Will Levis because Will Levis did it. But he wasn't trying to do it. He just thought it was funny. And then the guys who train him are from Jacksonville. Mac Jones is also from Jacksonville, and so he's known all those guys forever. Mac Jones texted one of them after the pro day and said, I hope he's giving me proper credit for starting this trend. Because apparently Mac Jones did it at his pro day too. So that's maybe that's the new thing. That'll be the next frontier for quarterbacks is, can you hit the ceiling of your indoor practice facility at your pro day?
Well, the next one's going to be do pro day at Dallas Cowboys Stadium and see if you can hit the scoreboard with your arm.
Well, yeah, obviously. Yeah. We were joking because we were trying to figure out if we just threw a football at the closest point of the ceiling, anywhere in the complex, because it's higher, across the middle. But as you get closer to the end or closer to one of the edges, it's a lower ceiling. But could we hit the ceiling at any point with a football? And the consensus, no, none of us could.
Can I have you solve a discussion with my friends that has nothing to do with this, but I've just it's been an ongoing argument in the group chat. Mm-hmm. So we went to homecoming at Arizona 4 or 5 years ago now, and we were sitting in the upper deck, maybe 5 or 10 rows up, and it was an Arizona-Oregon game. And we had been on campus all day.
This is the football stadium, not
the football stadium. Okay. Yes, yes. And one of my buddies, and we were drinking, but he was being dead serious. He said, if you gave me a baseball, do you think I could throw the baseball across the field to the other sideline from the elevated point? And all of us were like, no way. Like, what do you think? And he was a smaller dude.
It's been a long time since physics class. So I'm having a hard time. There's a hypotenuse here that we have to find the length of. Now, really good baseball center fielders can throw a ball 350 feet on a line. 375 feet on a line.
And how many feet are in a yard? Three?
Three. So
he'd have to throw it at least from standing on the ground 200 feet.
Yeah, 200 feet would not be that hard. And now he's also elevated, so that's gonna help him a little bit.
You don't think that 200 feet would be a hard task to throw a baseball for an out of shape 35-year-old man?
It wouldn't be easy, but you could if you get your launch angle right, you'd be fine. For 200 feet. If it's 300 feet, no, it's not. That's gonna be tough.
Yeah, I feel like I would tear my rotator cuff trying it. So
it probably would.
My whole thing is I'm trying my best to get everybody back there on a day where the field is empty and we're going to bet on whether he can do it.
I think you should absolutely do that. Because the thing is, if he hasn't been practicing or he hasn't been throwing, he's going to have the launch point all wrong and he's either going to dirt it or he's going to throw a lollipop that can't get over there.
I think it's possible that he might not even hit the closest sideline.
Yeah. Because if you gave me a baseball right now, it's been so long since I've thrown a baseball. I don't think I could throw it to the target you're telling me to throw to. I'd be way off.
I don't know that I could throw it 100 feet. Because my favorite thing in the entire world is ordinary people trying to...
100 feet is only 10 feet more than home plate to first base. I think you could throw from home plate to first base.
Okay, is that... Yeah, but you've seen people with their first pitches.
That's a launch angle thing. So a pitch is 60 feet, 6 inches. Almost everybody can throw a ball 60 feet, 6 inches. It's just a matter of letting it leave your hand at the right spot.
Yeah. This is just grown men group chat discussion. But exactly. It's just my favorite thing is ordinary people.
Incorporate this into the show, things that we think we can do, and let's just see if we can do them.
Yeah, honestly, that. It's been a 2-year discussion that gets brought up every now and then.
I kind of want to take a baseball. There's a field near my house. I want to take a baseball out and see how far I can throw it now.
Yeah, go to a high school stadium and go to the top of the bleachers and see if you can throw it across the field.
Okay, well, I will be at a high school stadium later today because my son has a lacrosse game.
Do you have a baseball?
I don't have a baseball. I could get a lacrosse ball, similar size, a little bit
lighter.
Aren't
they way heavier? Lighter?
Or heavier. Probably heavier, yeah. They're rubber. They're heavy rubber.
Yeah. Look what Vaughn just said. The Olympics need to put on an ordinary person in every event to see how superhuman the athletes actually are.
Oh, because listen, Pros versus Joes is one of my favorite shows. I loved that when some NFL linebacker is just jacking up a normal guy.
I just I saw, and I don't know if it was Barstool or another one, they were having a discussion about whether or not if you were in an NBA game, you could score 10 points in 40 minutes.
Oh, that was that dude who tweeted that he would he could score 28 if nobody, if they agreed that nobody, oh no, if he just stood on one end of the court and shot threes, that he could score 28 in a game, something like that. It was
it's just ordinary people acting like they can do amazing things because like being a professional athlete or doing those things is easy. Like it's so arrogant, and I don't think that anybody can do anything that they think they can.
I need to figure out the exact circumstances of what that guy, because it was hilarious. No, I think there was a defensive component involved. And if an actual NBA player is defending you, you won't get one shot off. You will not even get a shot on goal.
Slam it in your face.
Right.
You won't even hit the rim.
It across the court. So
So I don't think that I could score a point or do anything in any professional sport ever.
No.
And like somebody asked a question to me and Landis when 4-6 to A and B existed of, if you had to play one position in a college football game, which position could it be that your team could get away with it the most? Like, without getting completely blown out as a result of your presence on the field.
Holder? Because you just go for two every time.
It has to be one of the 11 positions. And my thing was receiver or running back. But even then, running backs have to pick up blocks.
Running backs need to block. You could be an outside receiver who's just doesn't get thrown the ball. That's the best shot you got.
Yeah, but even then, you have to block.
You should block, yes. That would be preferable.
Yeah, but the only answer, there's not a defensive position.
But mostly the other team would be playing 11 on 10.
You can't play a single defensive position
as
a normal person.
You would be picked on mercilessly. They would just go at you every time. Yeah, here's one. Okay, maybe we'll do it in college football. I think this is doable in college football. I don't think this is doable in the NFL. If you have a good offensive line, you take a team with a good offensive line, could you gain a yard if they handed you the ball? Which I think if it's a good college offensive line, they'd probably get enough of a push that the average person could probably gain a yard.
Yeah, I mean, there's a lot of college plays where the running back isn't touched till 5 yards.
Right. In the NFL, though, you would not gain a single yard.
I think you could in college, but it would just be based on how much more athletic your offensive line was. It wouldn't be because you're athletic. It would be because your offensive line is athletic and nobody was near you.
Right.
But I don't think people appreciate how quickly a running back gets the ball and runs upfield either.
No, they don't. And that's why the NFL part would be more interesting, because that hole closes so quickly. There's not a normal person who could get to the line of scrimmage before the hole closed.
Yeah.
Yeah. But Anthony Richardson could. We know that.
He sure could. Yeah. Sorry. One of the problems that I don't think you considered when you had me become the co-host of the show, Andy, is how often I was going to hijack it into some grab ass territory.
I'm fine with that. This is the off season, Ari. We can do this. We can do this all day. But Anthony Richardson is not a normal human being. He is a superhuman human being. The question is, can he be an effective NFL quarterback? And I'm telling you, so the Panthers, the whole brain trust was there. Pete Carroll was there, and a bunch of I believe John Schneider, their GM, was there. The Seahawks were there. So you had the Colts, Frank Reich from the Panthers, the new coach. I just mentioned him with the Colts, but the Colts GM, Chris Ballard, I believe, was there. Lots of people watching Anthony Richardson. He's going to go not only in the first round, he's going to go in the top 10. Telling you this right now. He's going to.
But remember, it wasn't so long ago when I said he was going to be a top 10 pick where your mind was blown.
Right. Exactly. But
that was like a month ago.
I know. And it's just talking to more NFL people in the league or people who cover the league, has made me understand why he's going to be a top 10 pick. He's going to be a top 10 pick because if you look at the history of top 10 picks at quarterback, it is less than a 50-50 proposition. This may be like 75-25. Maybe like a quarter of them turn out good. So if you're probably going to mess this up anyway, and your job's on the line to get it right, you're probably going to go with the guy who has the superhuman traits. We'll be right back after this message from one of our lovely sponsors.
Hey, it's Kaylee Cuoco for Priceline. Ready to go to your happy place for a happy price? Well, why didn't you say so? Just download the Priceline app right now and save up to 60% on hotels. So whether it's Cousin Kevin's Kazoo Concert in Kansas City, go Kevin! Or Becky's Bachelorette Bash in Bermuda, you never have to miss a trip ever again. So download the Priceline app today. Your savings are waiting.
Go to your happy place for a happy price. Go to your happy price, Priceline.
Mother's Day is around the corner. Find the perfect gift for the mom in your life with a stunning piece of jewelry from Blue Nile. From timeless pearls to dazzling gemstones, Blue Nile has something she'll adore. Need it fast? Most items can ship overnight. Plus, enjoy guaranteed free shipping and returns. Don't miss our special Mother's Day deals. Save big on the season's most beautiful trends. For a limited time, get up to 50% off by going to BlueNile.com. That's BlueNile.com.
You think only 25% are good?
Well, let's look at the list. Let me call up the
And like, what is your bar for good? Like, 5-year starter is good, or like Aaron Rodgers is good?
No, I'm talking about somebody you want back as your starting quarterback
for like a second contract
when their rookie contract ends. So, all right, last year's Kenny Pickett, he wasn't even in the top 10. He was the 20th pick. It looks like he's going to do well, pretty okay in Pittsburgh.
Yeah,
but he hasn't had enough time. So let's go back to 2021.
Start with the previous draft.
Yeah, Trevor Lawrence, he's going to work. That's going to be fine.
One for
Zach,
one.
Zach Wilson, pick number two in that draft. Already done. Two. Already okay. Done. Trey Lance
can't make a decision.
Brock
yet.
Purdy is going to be the starter. John Lynch.
You can't
said
make
it the
a decision
day,
that he stinks, though.
I'm not saying he stinks, but. It's not trending well. Justin Fields. We'll see. We'll see.
If they were going to trade him, they were going to trade him this year.
Do the Bears sign him to a second contract? We don't know.
I would guess that they would, but yeah.
We'll find out next year.
We will.
Mac Jones. Jury's out.
Yeah.
All right. Let's go to the next one.
So you have two definitive yeses, but one of those yeses was one of the best prospects in NFL draft history.
Right, exactly.
Okay.
2020, Joe Burrow, great, perfect. 2020 is a good year. Tua, good. We'll see what happens.
Yeah, his is injury related. Thing.
Right,
yeah.
not necessarily ability related. Justin Herbert, very good. So now they got to figure out how to make it all work. They lost in the first round of the playoffs, but okay. Kyler Murray got the second contract. I'm not sure anybody's real happy about it. Daniel Jones got the second contract.
This is way higher than 25%, by the way.
Okay. Well, I haven't gotten to 2018 yet.
Okay.
2018.
Is that Allen's year?
That is Allen's year. Baker Mayfield.
No.
Nope. Sam Darnold. Nope.
No. Nope.
Josh Allen. Yes. Josh Rosen. Nope. Now, down at number 32, Lamar Jackson. Was taken. He turned out great.
Yeah, and the other thing too is like I think Daniel Jones might be the perfect example because he's a lot better than people give him credit for, which is the reason why he did get the second contract. But like, what about Baker Mayfield? He stinks, I think, in the NFL, but he is a starting quarterback in the league in year four was he year four or five now? He's a starter.
He did take the Browns to a playoff victory.
And isn't he the starter in Tampa?
It looks like he will be.
Yes. Or is Kyle Trask good enough? I don't know. We'll find out. But somebody signed him to be a starting quarterback in year four or five of his tenure.
All right.
Let me make this point though, real quick,
okay.
Andy.
Yep.
I would rather draft a Baker Mayfield than get cute and end up with a Zach Wilson. Like you want somebody who at least is serviceable, like at the very least that could keep your team.
Yeah.
Like because Baker was the quarterback for the Browns for 3 years.
Look at what Baker did on Monday night or on Thursday Night Football 2 days after getting to the Rams.
He threw a nice pass on a final drive, but like the whole game was awful.
He didn't start the game.
Didn't he come in the middle of the first quarter?
Yeah. So he'd been there 2 days. He won him the game.
No, I'm not saying that he's. I'm just. Nobody's going to build a franchise around the man. Yeah, but at least he was serviceable enough to be the starter for multiple years.
So Jordan asking a question. Andy, what about Richardson's limited experience mixed with his elite physical traits don't inspire massive confidence about what the future holds? I just don't get your apprehensive approach. Well, I watched him complete 53% of his passes, and I also know that there are guys who just step in their first year as a college starter and are very good, and then even those guys don't always end up being good NFL players.
Yeah.
So it's a crapshoot. Now, it might not be 25%. It might be closer to 50. But if it's a 50-50 shot,
then I think it's a bad bet.
You think it's a bad bet? Okay.
I do, yeah. I think that if you take him in the top five especially, now I'm not an expert on how the NFL draft salary numbers look when you change from like the third pick to the 10th pick, how dramatic that is, and how I don't know. When I was a kid, if you were a bust, like that set your franchise back 2 or 3 years.
Yeah.
Like if you made like the Jamarcus Russell situation hurt the Raiders bad.
For a long time, yes.
And it might not be the case anymore because, you know, the NFL is set up a little bit differently. But like you would want to avoid the big bust scenario as much as you could, you know? So like putting yourself in a position like Anthony Richardson has a ceiling, right?
Yeah.
But his like potential to bust is so much higher than the other quarterbacks in this draft, right? But, you know, the other thing, though.
He's what I
the beneficiary of being in a bad draft. Like, if Anthony Richardson were in the draft that had Burrow and Herbert, like, he wouldn't have been drafted this high. But this year, we've got a few guys who were all question marks. And, like, you know, C.J. Stroud, I don't know, might be the most, like, I think his basement's probably the highest.
You're right. And Richardson's ceiling is probably the highest.
There's probably there's no Trevor Lawrence there to make you think twice about it, but it's just about whether or not you want to sink your asset.
Yeah. Next year, there will be Caleb Williams sitting there and everybody will be going, that's the guy. But this isn't that year.
I know, but
everybody in this draft has a flaw or two.
So if I were an NFL GM, and listen, I know in the NFL, if you don't have a quarterback, you don't have anything. But I would be reluctant to draft a quarterback in this year's first round, knowing what's coming next year and knowing that the value of that pick is the same now financially as it would be next year.
You have to really stink to get Caleb Williams.
Well, if you don't have a quarterback, you have a pretty good chance of stinking.
But your team may not stink enough, and that's the other problem. Now, we talked to Richardson today. We also talked to Florida coach Billy Napier about Richardson. And he said something that I found interesting. And I'm not going to shade your opinion one way or the other on this. I want to see how this hits you. Because initially it hit me a certain way. And then I had to re-listen to it 3 times to see how I felt about it. But I want you to tell me what you think when you hear this from Billy Napier.
Anthony kind of bet on himself to some degree. You know, he knew what teams needed quarterbacks. He went through an exhaustive process, made a decision which is going to be proved to be a smart decision, right? So Anthony's a humble kid. He's a smart kid. Just a really inexperienced player. Was a first-year starter in a new system. And everybody around him was in a new system and teaching a new system. So we all know what this guy's capable of. It's just a matter of repetition. He's going to provide the work ethic and the attitude, and he's going to have a phenomenal career.
So what did you think of that Anthony bet on himself?
That wasn't the thing, because I think it's a smart business move on his
correct account. That's what he's saying.
Yeah. So I think that, but I also like what stood out to me the most about that sound clip was talking and kind of stressing how inexperienced he is.
Yes.
You know, and I don't know if that's your takeaway or how I'm supposed to receive it.
Oh, but, I'm just curious how it hits you.
But it's what you've been saying for months. Like if you're a quarterback and you are an NFL draft pick potentially, and you're not sure, like, if you can improve, like, how is Anthony Richardson going to improve his stock any more than it already is? Like, there's a legitimate chance the man could be taken number one overall right now.
Yeah.
And there's a 0% chance he'll be taken number one overall next year. So, correct. Like, from that standpoint, like, that to me makes it worth it. Now, the people around him are smart too. They know that today was going to happen. They knew the combine was going to happen, and they knew how people react to the combine. So, and I don't know what you think about this. You would probably be more educated in talking about it. Is how much more do you think Anthony Richardson could grow in college? Well, and are his problems solvable in college, or is it something that an NFL coach and GM have to figure out and like try to get that ball started for the NFL faster?
Well, and that's what's interesting to me, because if his problems aren't solvable in college, they're also not solvable in the NFL. But if they are solvable in college, then perhaps they can be solved in the NFL as well.
I mean, wouldn't you want the NFL to find that out before you do in the college?
Yes. Well, and
you don't want to find out that you can't fix it in college.
Obviously, they wanted him to stay at Florida. But he got great information. Whoever advised him to go pro when he did gave him good information, because they were 100% right about how many quarterback needy teams there would be, the relative strengths and weaknesses of this draft class, and where he would fall into it. And it's interesting, because yes, they're going to stress the inexperience and all that. It's weird though, for like Napier's in a weird spot with this, because I don't think there's a situation where Anthony Richardson gets thrown in next year and just excels. I think his best chance is probably gets taken by a team that doesn't expect him to start right away, brings him along a little bit slower.
Is that why Seattle seems to be a realistic possibility?
Detroit,
there?
Detroit, yeah. Yeah, those are, because Seattle re-signed Geno Smith. It's a contract where you can start Geno Smith this year. If you decide you want to make a change before 2024, not a huge deal. Jared Goff is signed for one more year in Detroit. Even the Raiders with Jimmy G, you could have Jimmy G start this year. You could start him at the beginning of next year. But if you at any point you wanted to make a transition, it's not a big deal at that point.
You know, so, what this reminds me of. So what was your job directly before SI?
I was the Florida beat writer for the Tampa Tribune.
Okay. And before that, you were in Tennessee, right?
Before that, I covered high schools for Tampa. And then before that, covered Tennessee for Chattanooga.
Okay. So when you were in Tampa, if SI would have called you up and said, Andy, we'd love to hire you to be a national college football reporter, but we know that you're inexperienced, but we're going to find out on the job if you have the chops for this. Or they said, you know what? You can stay in Tampa for one more year. We're going to play extra close attention to see if you can do it. And if you can't, we're not going to hire you. Like, what would you do? Like, you're taking the job, and if you fail there, then you might as well fail there. Then instead of failing, you get the salary, you get the that's all this is. So, like, if Billy Napier is upset about it, you know, or doesn't want that to happen, you know, obviously for his own self-serving purposes.
He wants it to happen. What's going to be tricky, and I don't think there's a situation where this happens just because of the way NFL teams will probably handle Richardson when they pick it, or whichever team picks him. But if he were to get into the games as a rookie and be playing well, that's going to look terrible for Florida. Because how did you only go 6-6 with that?
Well, I mean, it's kind of the same thing that happened with Oregon, right? With Herbert.
Oregon won the Pac-12.
Herbert in the NFL is not Herbert at Oregon.
Herbert at Oregon.
Are Oregon fans
going to
get mad at me?
His junior and senior year was pretty damn good. Like, I do think
Herbert turned out to be like one of the three best players in the NFL, like right away.
They didn't cut Herbert loose his senior year really until the Pac-12 championship game. But he was dominant in that game.
Maybe people are going to get mad at me. I do not remember him being 500 yards passing in the NFL good when he was in college. And that the whole thing was Oregon didn't allow him to use his skill set to the full potential.
For the Mario majority Cristobal of his high school career, was roundly criticized for being too conservative with Justin Herbert at that point in his career.
Okay, so I'm not crazy.
Yeah, no. Oregon fans lobbed a lot of that criticism, so they're not going to get mad at you.
Okay, so people, because like what I'm saying is exactly what happened with Oregon. You said, because you made it seem like I was crazy for thinking that.
Well, no, but Herbert was very good as a senior.
I don't think he stinks.
Yeah.
Or wasn't very good. I'm just saying,
you wouldn't call Richardson good at Florida in 2022, though.
No. Yeah, I'm not comparing Herbert's output to Richardson's. Yeah. But what I'm saying is, you don't want people that root for your college to look at somebody who played there and played poorly or didn't play to their potential than go be one of the best players in the NFL in year one.
Right.
Because, like, to me, that's a – because it's not like the guy's going to transform into Josh Allen in 6 weeks in the NFL. Like, if this is going to work, it's going to take time.
Yeah, it's not going to happen that quickly. And honestly, I think the judgment on Billy Napier is going to happen quicker than Anthony Richardson's NFL development. Because
yeah, well, I don't know if this is where this is headed. But I asked I was asked in my recruiting mailbag this week about like expectations of what Florida had to do in the 2024 cycle for him not to be on the hot seat. And I'm wondering if there's a situation in your mind where Napier might not even get the benefit of the doubt of their 24 class before this is all wrapped up.
They have a new president at Florida, okay, who Ben Sasse, who was a U.S. senator. He's from Nebraska. He was, I believe, the system president of Nebraska at one point. He's going to be more involved in athletics than the previous president was. And so, yeah, they're going to take a look at that. Like, don't expect anything to be set in stone. And if they go 6-6 again, I don't know, because this is as apathetic as I've ever seen the Florida fan base. And they're not even mad anymore. They're just to the point of like, blah. And I always felt like that is a much worse place to be than your fans are mad at you. So now here's the thing. If Napier and his staff come out and win 8 games this year, like, the fan base will be fine. They'll be like, okay, cool. Good trajectory is good. DJ Lagway is coming in to lead a stellar 2024 class. Like, they'll be fine with that. But if Florida is as middling as they were last year, that's going to be a problem. It's going to be a big problem. We'll be right back after these words.
Yeah, well, like, the whole thing too is like a recruiting based question. And I think off the top of my head that Florida has 3 top 50 players committed in 24. So things are looking up on that regard. Mm-hmm. But I'm wondering if like things are so uncomfortable with the team level, if he might not even have the opportunity to save his job
through recruiting. This is where he's facing a challenge this year. I'll be straight up. Stuart Mandel put him on the hot seat list in his mailbag this week. And look, you know how fast Florida goes through coaches, so nothing should surprise you at this point about that. But I was looking around at Pro Day, and so Anthony Richardson obviously is going to be a first-round draft pick. Osiris Torrance, who's one of the players who came, he followed Billy Napier from Louisiana. He's also going to be a first-round draft pick. He was a guard. Javon Dexter's probably, we're talking third-round type, maybe even could push his way into the second defensive lineman. I was asking, who are the NFL scouts going to be in Gainesville to see next year? Because like Trevor Etienne's going to be really good, but he's only going to be a sophomore this year. He's not draft eligible. That's a good thing. That bodes well for Florida that he's there. But Montrell Johnson, who is a back who followed Napier from Louisiana, he's one they'll be coming to see. Ricky Pearsall, the receiver who transferred from Arizona State, he's another one that they'll come to see. But who else? You know, that's the big question. Who are some of the other players? And to this point, those guys have not really distinguished themselves. You know, there's a couple, like Jason Marshall, the corner. I think that's one that people could be excited about from an NFL standpoint. But it's
I do it's this exercise with other SEC programs, and it's a pretty easy assignment.
It's very easy. Like Georgia, we're coming to see Brock Bowers, and then it goes from there. Like, it's like this past year, we could have told you last year, oh, they're coming to see Jalen Carter. They're coming to see Darnell Washington. They're coming to see Nolan Smith, all these players. So, and Georgia will be the same way. You know, some of those offensive linemen this year, a bunch of that defense is going to be everybody's looking at. LSU, they're going to come, you know, they're coming to see Mason Smith. They're coming to see Jaden Daniels. They're coming to see, you know, we can go down the list. And that's where you kind of wonder, like, where does Florida rank alongside maybe Tennessee or South Carolina in that respect? Because that's, you're not overtaking Georgia, But the question is, are you going to be behind Tennessee and South Carolina too? Because if you are, that's going to be a problem.
Right. Yeah, no, that's well, here's the thing too that I was going to ask you before the podcast, because I knew we were talking about, and I had this hypothetical in my head. Who's taking a bigger risk? The GM who drafts Anthony Richardson or Billy Napier with Graham Mertz?
The part on risks with Mertz, like, the question is, what were the other alternatives?
That's true.
You know, because Sam Hartman didn't choose Florida. It was going, he went to Notre Dame. They, as far as I know, Florida did not, like, Austin Reed was out there. He's from the state of Florida, very good quarterback at Western Kentucky, but Florida wasn't really interested in him. He wound up going back to Western Kentucky. I do believe they kicked the tires on Tulane's quarterback, and he ended up staying at Tulane.
They also had a quarterback in their 23 class.
They did have a quarterback in their 23 class. Jaden Rashada. That's true. Currently hanging in Tempe right now.
Well, if they didn't get immersed, then maybe the check clears. You know, I don't know. because they might... I'm kidding. Okay. I'm just saying,
was,
like, yeah,
there was no check, Ari.
Yeah.
Therein lies the problem. So
I kid. But okay, you're right. All right. So there's no alternative. But the fact there's no alternative is scary.
Yeah. That's the situation. That's where, because Jack Miller, the transfer from Ohio State, is still there. And then Graham Mertz, you know, we'll see what happens with him. But he's got experience, you know that, but it's not particularly great experience at Wisconsin.
Yeah.
That's why Wisconsin is changing everything now.
You know, as somebody who covered Jack Miller's recruitment very extensively, he was once supposed to be the quarterback of the future for Ohio State. Is the door shut on him being the starter
there? It's not shut. He's still got a chance to win it if he outperforms Mertz, but it from what it sounds like, Mertz is outperforming everybody else.
Okay. Yeah, I just didn't know if he had a shot to maybe do some things that we've kind of forgot about, or, you know, in terms of, or shut the door on in terms of, like, thinking about.
Yeah,
like,
the door's not closed, but he's got to overtake.
Yeah, I'm not Mertz even asking if the door is technically closed from a battle standpoint. I'm asking you, from what you've seen out of him, if you think he's and has enough to, like, be excited about, or if it's kind of like, if he wins the job, they're in bad position.
I mean, we've really only seen one game. You know, saw him.
It was in a bowl game, right? Vegas.
Most of the roster wasn't. It felt like most of the roster wasn't playing. So, that's not one I'd. I'm not going to form that much of an opinion on that. So
yeah,
Julian, Florida giving up 30 plus a game is how they went 6-6 in the regular season. No, their offense could have been better. You're not.
The defense didn't help.
It didn't help, but you can't.
They both stunk.
Yeah. Okay, well, great. Who's going to make the defense that much better? By the way, new coordinator, too, because the last guy took off for the NFL.
Yeah, so basically what you're saying is Florida's in a world of hurt this year.
They better not be, for the sake of this coaching staff.
You didn't come out and say it, but you added up you did the equation, and I know what the answer to that is. I don't know who they're going to watch next year at the Pro Day. I don't know who's going to make their defense better and what were their alternatives at quarterback. They don't really necessarily inspire a lot of confidence in where the team is headed this year.
Jordan asked me my thoughts on Dez Watson. Dez Watson is my favorite player in college football, and I think he should have tried to score a touchdown against South Carolina.
Player in college football, too.
Dez Watson, for those who don't know, is the Florida defensive tackle who I think he's – I want to say he's listed at like 415, but I think
– I'd come see him play at Pro Day even if he
somebody,
wasn't.
Somebody caught – well, that's one of the guys that the NFL scouts will be looking at Pro Day next year. But I think
he would mess up the cone drill, wouldn't he? He's, like, really agile for his size, isn't he? He's
very agile for his size. Though I will tell you, watching Osiris Torrance do the three-cone drill at 340-something pounds, holy smokes. Like,
I'm going to make you a promise right now.
It's not even fair how well some of these dudes move for that size.
What year is Watson?
He's a junior.
Okay, next year, I'm coming to Gainesville and making my first trip to Gainesville around this time, and I'll spend my own money on my own dime, staying in your house, using your pool, and the only purpose of that trip is to watch him do the three-cone drill.
Yeah.
I'm going to Pro Day next year.
They list him at 415. Billy Napier, I think, mentioned it was like four. Oh no, they've got him listed at 6'5", 449 right now.
Yeah, he's huge. I thought 415 seemed a little undershot.
Yeah. Oh, and the best part is, like, if you look at Desmond Watson's bio on Florida's website, the first photo is him carrying the ball against South Carolina after picking up the fumble.
If he would have scored there, that would have been the greatest big guy touchdown ever, right?
If there is not a goal line package for that man next year, if Billy Napier can build a goal line package for Des Watson, I take him off every hot seat list. I will personally call everybody who puts him on a hot seat list and say, nope, take him off. He's a genius. But if he doesn't design a goal line package for Des Watson, then I'm
but
pushing
the
hot
seat
narrative
that we're
forward.
Like teasing him because he's big. Like he's actually could play in the NFL.
Oh yeah. Oh yeah. Absolutely. Yeah. No, he is a freak athlete. Like nobody that big should be able to move like that. Nobody.
Yeah. Mount Cody.
Yeah. Terrence Cody was close to 400, but by the time he got done in Alabama, I want to say he was about 340. So
are they trying to make Dez smaller?
I don't think so.
Is he trying to cut weight or is this his playing weight?
I think this is it. I mean, if you're officially changing his official listed weight to 449, I think that's what you're rolling with.
Also, too, just get that extra pound, man. 450 is just so much better than 449.
That's what makes me feel like it's entirely accurate.
He's rounding up for the guy.
It's crazy. Yeah. But he does move incredibly well for a guy that size.
Yeah. And so, there is nothing that NFL scouts and GMs and whatever love more than a big guy who can move well.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, remember Gilbert Brown? Gilbert Brown was probably 400 pounds when he was playing for the Packers. And he was very difficult to move out of the hole. So, you know, Dez just has to make himself immovable and also occasionally get some penetration in the pass game. So, 450 pounds. So, that's... Ari, think about this. That is twice what I weigh. Twice! It's two of me.
I'm like watching clips of him on mute on YouTube right now. And like, I don't think I've ever seen a person on a football field look as big as he looks on the field.
Cause there's never been one.
No, I mean,
big.
At any level. And if this YouTube video says Florida Gators have a 480 pound defensive. Was he ever 480 or is that a wrong?
I don't know. The most I've heard is the one they're listing him at right now.
Okay. Yeah. No, this is, and the fact that the guy wears 21.
Oh, it's unbelievable. Fred Taylor's number.
You know that Deion just went on this rant about how defensive linemen can't wear single digits. Like if Dez doesn't wear a single digit next year, then we failed college football.
Seriously, Deion,
give
Deion
him zero.
Needs to let that one go. Like I understand where Deion's coming from. Those DBs never want the big guys to shine. But there is very little I love in life more than a defensive lineman wearing a single digit.
What is your favorite digit?
For a D lineman?
For any player. Like, what do you think is the best looking digit?
I like the one on a D lineman just because the one is never that big. Like, it just doesn't stretch. So, when you put it on that person's chest, it looks minuscule. It looks tiny. I do like the single zero. For a D lineman too.
Yeah, because I actually don't love the block zero number on anyone.
You're not, okay.
I don't think it looks that good on anybody. I think 33 is the best number for a linebacker. I think 33 or 33 for a halfback would be great.
So I like 54 for a linebacker.
I think the number 9 for a defensive end is badass.
That is a nice one. 7 for a defensive end looks good too, like clown.
Yeah, yeah.
In college,
I do like single digits, but the thing that stinks, and you know, it's just because we're not Gen Zs. Are you a millennial, or are you older than millennial?
I am Generation X, I believe, the very end of Generation X.
Okay, is that we've lost in football the coolness of number 21? 21 was the it number when I was a kid.
Well, because of Leon.
But now it's not. Now it's not really cool anymore.
I can't think of a very cool 21 in the NFL right now.
I think the number 4 for an outside linebacker is badass.
Yes, I like that. Like an off ball, like occasionally he's down on the line of scrimmage, but in a 2-point stance with that number 4 hovering over the line. I like that.
Yeah. And I don't like any double digits on a quarterback.
No Doug Flutie?
No.
Doug Flutie was 22. You were number 22 in the NFL.
Yeah, that's a strange number for a quarterback. I like single digits for the quarterback.
One more thing on Dez Watson. This photo they have of him carrying the ball. The thing he's doing, stiff-arming Spencer Rattler in the face. Like, they caught this photo at just the perfect time. Poor Spencer Rattler's like, what have I done to deserve this? But he did make the tackle. So, listen, NFL scouts going to South Carolina next year to scout Spencer Rattler. Don't forget, he did make the tackle on that play.
What's your worst nightmare as a quarterback would be having to tackle that human being. I don't even know what the strategy is. You just go for the kneecap.
That's pretty much what he did. Now Dez said he felt like he was dropping the ball, and that's why he went down. He went down to make sure he kept possession of the ball.
Okay.
To which I say, that sounds very responsible. That's not what I want to see, though.
Yeah, that's fine.
I need you carrying that ball in the end zone.
Yeah.
But that game, by the way, Florida destroyed South Carolina that game. And then South Carolina beat Tennessee and Clemson in consecutive weeks. That's how strange this sport is.
It's a very strange sport. And that's the prime reason why the transitive property is just nonsense.
Not great. But yeah, I mean, if we think about, if we're power ranking the SEC, you know, we talked about Florida needs to make sure they're not falling below South Carolina and Tennessee. And I'm not sure at this point if you can do that. But we still got Georgia. Do we have Georgia at the top, right?
Yeah.
Is Alabama number 2? Or is LSU number 2? If you're power ranking.
People got mad at me when I went on Feinbaum and said that I thought that Alabama was still the number 1 program in college football because of all the talent they lost last year and people don't know who the quarterback's going to be or whatever. But can't you just blindly put Alabama too? Like, do you even have to do a breakdown or can you just know?
Well, the thing is,
like,
it's a leap of
draft eligible players.
You don't know necessarily what their offense is going to look like.
When have they ever not been stacked with talent at every position? Like, when does it ever happen?
Last year on offense.
Just the receiver position, right?
And
they had the best quarterback in college football or second best.
They didn't have a particularly great offensive line last
year. Jahmyr Gibbs is really good.
Yes.
Yeah, but their offensive line has always been like the bane of every Alabama fan's existence, right?
No, they've had good offensive lines.
It's the thing that they complain about the most, though, isn't it?
It is the thing they always complain about, but they have had good offensive lines.
Of course they have. Of course they have. I'm just saying, I don't think it's that big of a... You're not walking the plank by assuming that they're going to be just fine.
All right, let me ask you this, because this is something we were kicking around the other day on the radio. I was doing SEC radio on Sirius XM. This will be the last time that the media choose potential division winners at SEC Media Days. Who will be voted by the media to win the West this year?
Oh my goodness. A&M?
No. Stuart says, oh, Jimbo's definitely not on the hot seat. I'm like, Stuart, are you sure about that?
I don't know.
They might find that money either. If they do the same thing next year.
I don't know. Andy, no, I really don't know.
LSU or Alabama? You think they can find
the money? I think it'll be Bama.
I think that's not
the right way that I would do it. I don't think that media members have imagination when they're voting on these things.
I'm not going to vote because I always forget to every year. But we need to place a bet on that. We'll figure out what the stakes are. Maybe it's just stakes, but I will bet you that the media vote will pick LSU to win the SEC West, and that'll be the story of SEC Media Days.
Why? Because we've seen Jaden Daniels throw and we haven't seen Ty Simpson throw yet?
That's exactly right.
Like, is that like the, is
you just
the extent
said
of the
we
analysis?
Don't have imagination. You just okay. said it.
No, I know. Yeah, now I don't feel like particularly comfortable with it, but, you know, I never wanted to turn down a bet. So I'll
That's why we're going to make it stakes.
I'll take
so we,
it.
We both but, really win. Like, the winner buys the other a steak dinner. Done.
Okay, I'll just buy it for you anyway. But yes, let's do it. I mean, I don't know. Like, who? The thing is, like, who would you pick preseason, and who? Like, if somebody said your life's depending on it,
they're gonna
who
pick do you have LSU. To pick? Who I'm you telling
gonna
pick? You,
you're like, gonna Alabama's pick Alabama probably gonna if mess around and win the national title next year.
Right. If you did it that way, if you change the circumstances to tell
every media member that they lose their life if yeah, they're wrong with
yes,
who they
yes.
pick,
they're gonna pick Alabama. But with no repercussions, they're gonna pick LSU this year. I can tell you that right now.
Yeah, well, maybe so. But, you know, I don't know that that's necessarily, like, because we've seen somebody play and we, like, you can't have blind faith that whoever they pick at quarterback next year is going to be good.
It's not that. It's, I don't know who the receivers are going to be. And I don't doubt that there are guys on their roster who could wind up being really good and potential first round picks. But we don't, at this point, know who they're going to be. And yeah. I think that, like, LSU, you feel like Mason Smith's coming back from injury. You know what Harold Perkins is going to be defensively. Like, there's a lot. Now, like, Alabama, the guy I think probably blows up for Alabama as a guy who just sort of came on the scene last year is Jaheim Otis, the defensive lineman. Like, I think he's going to be awesome. He's going to be a sophomore this year. But, you know, are they going to be offensively more dynamic than they were? They lose a Heisman Trophy winner, a first-round draft pick in Bryce Young. I don't know that they're going to upgrade a quarterback. And then we don't know who the potentially dynamic receivers
are.
Yeah,
no, upgrade.
Are.
Yeah. No, I know. There's certainly questions. I just, like, for me, then maybe I'm just going to be wrong on this, but, like, it's hard for me to envision a fractured team at multiple positions.
No, they're going to have good players. They are. So I still think that the media, and I'm saying the media like it's not me, because I will again forget to vote because I always forget to vote. I never turn in my ballot. I always forget. So,
but it's like, is this the year that LSU is actually going to return to being LSU? Like, Brian Kelly, like, kind of is just waiting in the wings to just be awesome like he's been everywhere he's gone?
It's possible. And there's no, you know, last year that Florida State loss, like, if that was game three instead of game one, I think LSU would have won that game.
Yeah.
There's a lot of, first year staff. First
that
game,
was probably a top three game of the year, too.
It's a great game. Great game. And they play Florida State to open this year in Orlando. And this is, you know, this version of Florida State's going to be better than the one I saw last year. So that's going to be a lot of fun to right off the bat. Figure out where those programs are at.
Right. Yeah, that's God, just come already. I'm ready.
So
I was like thinking
so
like it's
an
opening day today. And I was like, you know, this calendar's flying by. We got the draft. Every 3 weeks there's a pillar that we cross, and then we'll get to, you know, fall camp and all that stuff, and we'll be right back in the driver's seat. I can't wait.
Me neither, Ari. We need some games. It's been a very eventful offseason, but I still would rather just watch games.
Oh, yeah. No question.
All right.
No question.
Before we go, we have no money on this. We have no skin in the game. Well, you might have some money on it soon. But we talked about this Final Four and how different it is and how it's not something we'll ever see in football. But who you got? Who
Miami?
Are you talking about Monday night? Oh, Miami. You got your future. Got your future. And you can't hedge it. So, we need Miami. All right. So, for our
I can hedge it if they get up early. But, yeah. No, I actually think, unfortunately, that UConn will win the national championship this year.
It is. So, somebody asked me this on Twitter yesterday, and I found it interesting. They asked how many sitting head football coaches have national titles and how many sitting head basketball coaches. Did you realize there's only one more head basketball coach with a national title than football coach right now?
Yeah, I don't even know who they are.
It's there's only six of them. So I name them all.
In basketball?
There's five in football and there's six in basketball. So let's see how many you can name. This is trivia time for you. We'll start with football. That's the easy one.
Jimbo Fisher.
Correct.
Nick Saban.
Mm-hmm.
Kirby Smart.
Yep.
National.
The other two are in the same conference.
Oh man. Is this like a trick question or am I an idiot?
So do you want me to answer that?
I want you to answer, like, is it going to be...
One is really easy.
Oh, Dabo Sweeney's one. Okay so one. That one's one. So who's the other? Oh, Mack Brown.
There you go. Okay, that's five. Okay. Very good. Now a harder one. Name the six basketball head coaches.
I couldn't. I don't even know. I couldn't name six total basketball coaches that are employed right now.
Well, the reason there are only six right now... What's that? Rick Pitino? Rick Pitino? Yes. He is one of them. St. John's coach, Rick Pitino.
Is Jay Wright still the head coach of Villanova?
No, he's retired. He does his commercial. He does his commercials where he's on the TV beach, and the little robot follows the referee around. So Jay Wright, Roy Williams, and Mike Krzyzewski and Jim Boeheim all retiring. Yeah. Kind of. So that's four that are gone within the past three seasons. So,
and those are the only four that I probably could have named. So I mean, Rick Pitino's the other one. Are there other famous ones?
Well, I'm glad you. Well, no, yeah, they're all famous. Three of them are very famous. Three of the other ones on the list are very famous. So Bill Self, Tony Bennett, Rick Pitino, yeah. John Calipari, Tom Izzo.
John Calipari. I'm an idiot. Tom Izzo, too. I just psyched myself out. I should have known that.
Here's a trivia question.
Yeah.
How many years has it been since Tom Izzo won his national title?
23
years. Think about that.
Yeah.
That's
I know
crazy.
That because every year when the Big Ten, every year when the NCAA tournament starts, there's always a story on one website that is this the year the Big Ten does it, and then they're all gone in the first round.
Yeah.
And then Michigan State, even though they've lost 17 games that year, always finds a way to get to the Elite Eight. Yeah. Yeah. It's the same story, but it is kind of crazy that Izzo's gone that long since he's done it.
Ari, I just realized this. We are missing out on a gold mine of off-season content.
Just trivia time.
Yes. We need to have trivia shows.
The problem with that is that I'm really bad at trivia.
But you could ask me questions, too. You would be really good at it
because you're an encyclopedia up there.
Well, we just do... It doesn't all have to be sports-related trivia. We could pick the things that are real. Like, I could do Tupac song trivia for you.
Yeah, I would I don't have the clutch gene. If you put me on the spot, you just saw what happened with basketball. Like, the fact that I couldn't name Coach Cal with that out there, like, just shows you how terrible I am at it.
Well,
I just melt under the pressure. All these people watching me.
You need more reps.
Do need more reps. Yeah, I mean, I'm not saying I won't do it because me being terrible at it would be good for the show too.
Exactly. So, all right, let's think about that. Next week, we're doing a trivia show. Maybe that's our Friday episode next week.
You know, Mitch Light at the end of every Stars Matter asks me a recruiting trivia question.
Yes, I love that.
And they're always very elaborate and very good and well-researched. And at first, it was really embarrassing, but I've gotten much better at it in the last few months.
See? But just reps.
It would be funny if we came up with one trivia question each at the end of every show that has nothing to do with sports.
I love it. And we on the honor code, do not look it up because I don't... Those of you watching the YouTube stream, you occasionally see me grab my laptop when I need to look something up. I could probably keep it beneath the camera and you can't see it, but...
But you know when someone's looking something up. Put your hands up like this.
Yeah, we're going... That's right.
Hands up.
Love it.
To do the U sign for me before we get out of here, too.
That's right.
Do one of these.
I actually think that I'm being a pessimist. Miami, if you watch them, is very, very good at basketball, and they could absolutely win that game on Saturday.
Jim Larrañaga got George Mason to the Final Four.
Yeah.
He can get Miami through the Final Four.
Yeah. I hope for his sake that he does. But yeah, it'll be fun and we'll be back mixing basketball into football content over the weekend, right?
That's exactly right. And who knows? We may be talking about the possibility of Ari rolling in a two-seater Mercedes. Thanks to Jim Larrañaga and Nigel Pack and Isaiah Wong. We'll find out. We'll talk to you again soon.